Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf Yud Aleph. The recording didn't work yesterday. I apologize if anyone was planning on listening online. But anyway, today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Aleph. We left off at the two dots toward the bottom of the page on daf Kuf Yud Amud Beis. Va'achin min ha'av nochlin uman chilin. Right, the last two dots on the page, but the second to last two dots on the page, about 6 or 7 lines before the end of the page. So he said, achin min ha'av nochlin uman chilin. Brothers who shared the same father, yarshin and bequeath to each other. So says Gemara minalan. How do we know that that's true? That brothers who shared the same father yarshin from each other and bequeath to each other. Obviously, if they yarshin from each other, they bequeath to each other. It's a reciprocal relationship. It's brothers. They're each related to each other in the same way. So, Amar Rabba, Asya Achva Achva Mi Bnei Yaakov. We derive it from a connection of a pasuk regarding Yerusha to a pasuk regarding Bnei Yaakov, where the term Achva is used by both. If you look at Rashbam explains, Ksiv Achov Unasatam Es Nachlaso Liachiv. It says you should give the Nachla to his brother. Uksifasam Shneimasar Avadecha Achim Anachnu Bnei Ish Echad. That when the brothers come to Yosef to get food, they say, we are Achim, we are all 12 brothers, all the son of one man. Bnei Ish Miusar Hu Lidrosh Destam Achin Einan Elamina Av. Why does it have to say Bnei Ish Echad? Just say that we're brothers, and we know that brothers are brothers. We'll just say, we know what a brother is. No, the point is that when they say Bnei Ish, that's there to teach us that Achva Lagabe Yerusha is also defined only by the father. Right? In normal language, they could have said, we're all brothers, and they would have known that they're brothers from the father, because that's what Ach normally means. But the fact that it says those extra words in the pasuk is there to teach us that when you make the connection to Yerusha, Yerusha is also only mina av. Malalad mina av velo mina aim, afkan mina av velo mina aim. Just like we have by the brothers, by the shvatim, they are brothers from the father, they are not all brothers from the same mother, there are four mothers. So too, when it comes to Yerusha, all you need is for the boys to be brothers from the father, not brothers from the mother. V'lamali, why do I need that to teach me this idea that it's only Achim min Av? Mimishpachta v'yarashosa k'siv. Mishpachasav kriya mishpacha. Mishpachasay mena kriya mishpacha. Can't I already know that from a different pasuk? Pasuk says mishpachta v'yarashosa, and we darshin that mishpachas Av is called mishpacha. Mishpachas Aim is not called mishpacha. Right? That we darshin that when only relationships through the father's side are called mishpacha. Relationships through the mother's side are not halachically, technically called mishpacha. Of a Talmud who's at a stage in his life where he's very into learning, but he still likes to torture his parents. So he said to me, you know, I'm doing the daf, and it's taking every ounce of self-control that I have to not share with my mother the idea that mishpacha's av is kriya mishpacha, not mishpacha's aim. Told him keep using every ounce of self-control. But anyway, so we already know the idea that mishpacha sav is kriy mishpacha, but mishpacha same is not kriy mishpacha. So answers the Gemara, ein achinami v'chiyit mar derabel inyan yibum mitmar. So the Gemara says yes, that's true. But we said the statement of Rabba legabe yibum, meaning the statement of Rabba that only achim min ha'av count and not achim min ha'aim. He said, in regard to Yibum, that only a brother from the father is going to do Yibum, not a brother from the mother. If you look at Rashbam, in Yibum, ki yeshu achim yachdav umeis achad mehem ubenein lo. How does the Torah introduce the parsha of Yibum? It tells us that if you have two brothers, achim, and then one of them dies and he doesn't have a son, da achiv me aviv miyabe misishto velo achiv me ima. What's the definition of a brother? An ach min ha'av is the definition of a brother regarding Yibum, not an ach min ha'em. Fine, so that's how we know the two brothers yarshin each other, and the definition of brothers are dafka brothers min ha'av. Says the Gemara Vayter, the next case in the Mishnah that we have not yet discussed of Yerusha is v'ha'ish es imo, a man can yarshin his mother. So minan emili, how do we know that a man yarshins his mother? Says Rashbam, minan emili de ish yorish es imo v'lo habas es ima. Meaning the point is, how do we know a man yarshins the mother, not a daughter the mother? The ben kodem labas b'nichsei ha'em. Meaning what we're really asking is, not how we know that a man gets the Yerusha, but how do we know that just like when a father dies, the son gets the Yerusha, not the daughter, and only if there's no son, then the daughter would get it. So too, when a mother dies, the son gets Yerusha and not the daughter, that the son gets to jump ahead of the daughter. Because the very teaching that a ben comes before a daughter, that a ben comes before a bas, is only said in regards to a nichse av. Ish ki yamus uben ein lo va'avartem esnachlasa lebito, the pasuk says that when a man dies and he doesn't have a son, we give the Yerusha to the daughter, implying that if he does have a son, we don't give any Yerusha to the daughter. But it's only when a man dies. Normally, whenever we use the word ish, it's always, we always darshan ish v'lo isha, right? So I would say aval isha ki tamus minalan diyaris laben v'gam minalan shiikdom labas. So when a woman dies, I don't know if any of these halachos apply. How would I know that a ben yarshins his mother at all? And even if a ben does yarshin his mother, how do I know that the ben gets to go ahead of the daughter? That the ben has any more rights in that Yerusha than the daughter does? If you look at Tosfos, ha'isha zimo minani mili omer rivam debishar Yerusha shel nashim kigon bito o achoso. We're not bothered, apparently, by how we know that a daughter can yarshin a father, or that a daughter can yarshin a brother, right? Because in that case, the Yerusha is not being uprooted from the father's family. And it's obvious that men and women are the same in regards to yarshining and bequeathing. What difference should it make if it's zacharim or nekevos? Datu nichse nashim yu hefker. Why, you think that if a woman dies, all the nechas, there shouldn't be laws of bequeathal? Of course there should be. Of course that when a woman dies, her nechasim aren't going to be hefker. The dafka ben b'nichse ya'im tzorach l'melech l'fisha nisavas nachla mimata avia alidea ben. The chiddush is that a son gets the Yerusha of his mother. Why is that a great chiddush? Because where did the mother get the money from? She got it from her father's house. Her father might have been from a different shevet. And the ben than her son is from, because her son's shevet follows her husband's shevet. Right? So he's going to be removing the Yerusha from the holding of that shevet. So that's what we're asking minani mili. So anyway, again, how do I know that a ben gets a Yerusha? And the Rashbam adds in, not only that a ben gets, how do I know that a ben gets before a daughter in the Yerusha Sa'im to yarshin the mother? So answers the Gemara, the Tanu Rabban, we have a Braisa. V'kolbas yereshes nachla mimatos b'nei Yisrael. The pasuk says, kolbas yereshes nachla mimatos b'nei Yisrael. Heich bas yereshes shnei matos. How is it possible? Why does it say matos? It should be mata. Why is it matos? Two tribes? Where is a bas ever going to yarshin from two different tribes? Elazusha via mishevet achar, v'ima mishevet achar, umesu v'irashtan. So you see that that must be referring to a case where a girl has a father from one shevet, a mother from another shevet. They both die, and she yarshins both of them. So there she's getting the Yerusha of Shnei Matos. The Rashbam elaborates and explains the case a little more carefully. If you look 6 or 7 lines down in the skinny lines, says the Rashbam, Ukugon sha'avia mishevet Ruuvein v'ima mishevet Shimon. Let's say her father's from Shevet Ruuvein, her mother's from Shevet Shimon. Ukshaniseis ima la'avia hayu la'achin li'ima shel bazu. Sheyirshu nachlas avien. And when the mother married the father, the mother had plenty of brothers that were in line to yarshin the mother's father, right? That were in line to yarshin the paternal grandfather. So this child had plenty of uncles that would have been in line to receive the Yerusha of his maternal grandfather and never would have gone to his mother at all. Deleka hasavas nachlas eim la'av b'shas nisuin. Meaning the point is, says Rashbam, because if there were never any other brothers, how's this woman allowed to marry someone from outside of her shevet? Isn't it a problem of removing the nachla from the shevet? When you go and you marry someone from another shevet, and you're an only and the girl is an only child, she doesn't have any brothers. So how can she be allowed to marry into another shevet? That by definition is going to be removing the nachla from the shevet. So says Rashbam, no, the case is when they got married, there were other brothers. She wasn't in line to yarshin anything. So there's nothing wrong with marrying a man from another shevet. Lo kapit kra ela shabashas nisuin lo te ruya lirish nechse avia. All the Torah really cares about is at the time that you get married, the girl should not be the one who's in line to yarshin, because if she then marries another shevet, that's going to be a problem. Look, she can marry within her shevet if she's the only one that's in line to Yarshin, right? If a guy doesn't have any sons, he only has daughters, they're allowed to get married, just marry within the Shevet. They shouldn't marry outside of the Shevet. The only time a girl's allowed to marry outside of the Shevet, unbelievable. Can you imagine what a shidduch crisis is supposed to cause? Meaning, if we think we have a bed now, that the girl is so limited, she can only marry within her Shevet, but if she has other brothers who are in line to Yarshin, then she can marry outside of the Shevet. But then what happened? So she gets married, and she has all these brothers that are in line to Yarshin, and then they all die. However they die, right? She outlives them all. And they all die while her father is still alive. And then her father dies, and who's left to Yarshin the father now? Meaning, if the father would have died first, it wouldn't have been a problem. If the father would have died before the brothers would have gotten the Yerusha, and then it would have passed on to their families, right? And would never have gone back to this girl. But now the point is, the father died last. So who's left to Yarshin him? So Vyarsho, his daughter is the one that's Yarshining him. So now the daughter received the Yerusha. This daughter is married to a man from another Shevet. So this girl from Shevet Shimon is married to this man from Shevet Reuven. The girl from Shevet Shimon has already received her father's Yerusha. And now, both the girl from Shevet Shimon and the boy from Shevet Reuven, her husband from Shevet Reuven, die. And they have one surviving daughter when they die. So that daughter yarshins both of them. So that's where you have a case. Nimtzes Yeresha Shnei Matos, Nachlas Ima Mimata Shimon, Menachlas Aviyah Mimata Ruvain. That's how a single person can yarshin, a girl can yarshin two Matos, she can yarshin from Ruvain, from Shevet Ruvain and from Shevet Shimon, all in one shot, she yarshins everybody. Fine, so that's what the case is. Vainly Alabas, Ben Minayin, so good. So I see that a daughter can yarshin her mother. How do I know a Ben, that a son can yarshin a mother as well? Amr Kal V'Chomer, we say it's a simple Kal V'Chomer. Uma bas shehuro kolcha b'nichsei ha'av, yafa kolcha b'nichsei ha'eim. Because think about it, when it comes to a bas, who we don't give as much koach in the nichsei ha'av, meaning we allow a son to go ahead of her in the nichsei ha'av when her father dies, so nevertheless we know she's allowed to yarshin the mother. Ben sheyafa kolcha b'nichsei ha'av, ein odin sheyafa kolcha b'nichsei ha'eim. So a son who has greater koach in the nichsei ha'av, why does he have greater koach? Because he's first in line in the Nichsei Av, ahead of his sisters. He's first in line in the Nichsei Av, so for sure, he should have just as good a koach in the Nichsei Aim to Yarshin, his mother. Says the Gemara, Umi Makum Shabasa, and if you're going to use that as your source, Mala Halan Ben Kodem Labas, Afkan Ben Kodem Labas. So if that's going to be our source, if the whole way we know that a son yarshins his mother is based on the fact that a son yarshins his father, and he has a greater koach in the Yerusha Sa'av than his sister does, so too, he should have a greater koach in the Yerusha Sa'aim than his sister does. So yes, the girl is in line to yarshin the mother if there are no brothers, but if there's a brother, the brother yarshins the mother, takes all the Yerusha just like he does from the father. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, Amru Mishum, Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav, Echad Ben ve'Echad Bas Shavin Milichsei Aim. That this group of people say in the name of Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav, that's not so. That when it comes to yarshining the father, you're right. If there's a son, the son takes everything. It's enough in a pasuk. If there's a son, the son takes everything. If there's no son, then the daughter takes. The daughter does not receive b'makom haben. But when it comes to yarshining a mother, even if there is a son and daughter split evenly. They are shaveh, they are equals when it comes to nichsei ha'eim. They both yarshin the mother evenly. So says Gemara, my taima. What would be the reason to say that? Didn't we have a very good point if we're going to derive the whole idea of a son yarshining the mother from the halachos of a son yarshining the father? So shouldn't it follow the same pattern? That just like when a son yarshins the father, he takes everything and doesn't share anything with his sisters, so too when a son yarshins the mother, he should receive the entire Yerusha. So what would be the reason to say that a son and daughter are equal? And says Gemara, I'll tell you the reason. Dayo lov min adin, lios kanidon. This is a Kal V'Chomer we're using. We're saying it's a Kal V'Chomer, that if a son has a greater koach than the daughter in Yerusha Sa'av, then Kal V'Chomer, he should be able to yarshin the mother just like the daughter. And we have a rule, whenever you make a Kal V'Chomer, that whenever you want to make a Kal V'Chomer, you can't derive more than what you're making the limud from. So over here, we're making the limud front, and what we mean by making, in order to have an effective kal v'chomer, you need two elements to make the limud. You need, like for instance, in this case, the best way to describe it is by using the case, this example. We have two elements to this limud. Number one, by Yerushas Ha'eim, we know that the daughter yarshins. And number two, by Yerushas Ha'av, we know that the son goes ahead of the daughter. Those are two elements to this kal v'chomer. You can't make the Yerushas, what we are learning, any stronger than either of those elements. So if you're going to say that, yes, we see that a son yashins his mother, that's going to be the great limud from the kal v'chomer, the son's Yerusha of the mother cannot be any greater than either the son's Yerusha of the father, which couldn't possibly happen anyway, so that's not an issue, but nor can it be greater than the daughter's Yerusha of the mother. So the son's Yerusha of the mother can't be any greater than the daughter's Yerusha of the mother, because it's the daughter's Yerusha of the mother that allows us to learn the very idea that the son yarshins the mother. So and therefore the son can't go ahead of the daughter in terms of yarshining the mother. He's only going, at most, he can only be considered an equal with the daughter in terms of yashning the mother. So that's the concept of daya we use in all of Shas. So says Gemara, yeah, it's the concept of daya we use in all of Shas. So how could anyone argue on it? Yet the Tanakhama over here still said, that disagreed with Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav. The Tanakhama who disagreed with Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav held that the son goes ahead of the daughter in Yerusha Sa'im also. What, he doesn't all of daya? We use daya throughout all of Shas. So the Tanakhama lo darish daya. Did the Tanakhama not darshan dayo? Vahadayu do raisahu. Dayo is a concept of raisa. Where do we have it? Titania. Midin kal v'chomer ketzad. Vayom Hashem el Moshe v'avio yorok yorak b'fanea. Halot chalim shivas yamim. Right? What happens? The Pasuk says that Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, if her father would have spat in her face, she would be embarrassed for 7 days. So tisagir shivas yamim michutz l'machna v'achar te'aseif. So Miriam, because it was the Ribbono Shlom that she was messing with, so therefore she's going to have to be outside chutz l'machna for 7 days, right? Because she spoke badly about the Shechina, really. So she's going to be out and about Moshe Rabbeinu, but primarily it's about the issue is the kal v'chomer to the Shechina. So she's going to have to be outside the machna. She's going to have tzaras for 7 days. So what's the kal v'chomer, right? That if she would have had an issue with her father, it would have been embarrassing for 7 days. She would deserve to be sent chutz l'machna for 7 days. So now with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it should also be 7 days. No, I would say kal v'chomer l'shechina arba asar. That if for her father it's 7 days, for the Shekhinah it should be 14 days. The Shekhinah is much greater than her father. Why 14? Meaning, I would say for the Shekhinah it should be infinity. How much greater is the Shekhinah than her father? How much greater is the Ribbono Shel Olam than her father? Twice as good as her father? I would think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more than twice as good as her father. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinity as good as her father. I mean, you can't even compare, we're not in the same league. It's like the Bali Musar give a mashal. It's when man thinks he accomplishes something, it's like you have a freight train pulling this heavy, heavy load, and there's a fly on the back of the train. And someone looks and says, oh, wow, look at the fly pushing that train. Yeah, he might be applying some pressure, but come on. Are you doing anything compared to the Ribbono Shel Olam? What, the Ribbono Shel Olam is only 14 compared to the father 7? Where do we get that number from? So says Tosos, Amar Rabbeinu Tam del kach nokat yedalid misham da Amar v'amapelah shlosh shushut min yesh badam. The Gemara Nida, it's also Gemara Kiddushin, but the Gemara Nida emphasizes specifically what's contributed to the creation of a child. Says that there are three shutfin, there are three partners in creating man: Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Avi v'Imo, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, his mother and his father. Whereas the Gemara Kiddushin just says it in the context of Kibud Avim, the Gemara Nida says it in the context of the Yitzhak Siras Havlad, of what each contributes to the child, to the makeup of the child. V'nosin v'akadosh baruch hu k'neged shnayan. The Gemara says that the Aviv, the Imo, each contribute 5 things to the makeup of the child, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu contributes 10 things to the makeup of the child. Meaning we are equal parts, our parents and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if each parent only gives 5 and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives 10 to the Yetziras of Lad and to what the child is going to be, so that's where you see that it's twice as much. So that's why we say, in terms of her relationship, it's not about who's greater. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinity times greater than her father is. That's not the issue. The issue is the child's relationship with the father versus the child's relationship, what the child received in terms of the Yetzira from the father versus what the child received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The child receives from her father half as much she receives from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it's going to be Dafka Yud Dalid Yom. That's the, by the way, that Gemara is obviously meant to be understood on many levels, and the Gemara is probably referring to what psychologists now know, that men, that people are equal part nature, equal part nurture, that we have a certain genetic makeup that's going to determine our personality. Like we mentioned yesterday, that they've done studies with twins who were put up for adoption and brought up in completely different environments, and yet very often the certain character traits were very, very similar to each other. Not just the way they look, but certain ways of acting, ways of behaving were very similar to each other, and they estimated at about 50-50. We're 50% nature, 50% nurture. And that's perhaps what the Gemara is indicating to us, that 50% comes from your parents. 50% is the genetic makeup of your parents. The other 50% is whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to put into you. And he's a parent of all mankind. So it's not necessarily going to follow along family lines, the other 50%. Anyway, so says the Gemara, Eladai Labam and Adin Lios Kenidon. So why don't we say that Miriam had to go outside the camp for 14 days? Right? When dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, so you see that and that's where we see that whenever you derive a kal v'chomer, you can only make it as severe as what you're learning from. And we're only learning from a father, which is 7 days, so we only apply it even with the Shekhinah for 7 days. So bottom line is, we have a question. How could the Tanakhama over here say that a son yarshins ahead of the daughter from the mother, if, after all, we only derive the Yerushas HaBen from the Yerushas HaBas? So why can it, how can it be better than Yerushas HaBas, stronger than Yerushas HaBas? And says the Gemara, beyond the Darish Dayo. Of course, in general, we do Darshan Dayo. In general, we will apply Dayo. V'shayni hacha, domer krami matos. Makish mata eim l'mata av. The pasuk says matos, and we darshan that we compare the mata aim to the mata av. Ma mata av ben kodem labas, av mata aim ben kodem labas. A special drasha from a pasuk to tell me that whatever the rules of Yerusha for a son from a father are, those same rules apply to a son from a mother. And just like by a son from a father, we know that the son receives the entire Yerusha, even if there is a sister, so too, the son receives the entire Yerusha from the mother, even if there is a sister. Fine. So now the Gemara is going to, now that we had the machlokas, basically all we did of practical halacha at the end of the day so far in today's daf is one very simple machlokas, that we know everyone agrees the son yarshins his mother. It said it in the Mishnah. The only thing we've done la halacha so far is, what if the mother dies, there's no husband, and there's a son and a daughter? Does the son receive everything, or does he share it with the daughter? Right, Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsov said that the son shares it with the daughter, and the Tanakhama said the son gets everything. That's all we had so far la halacha. So now the Gemara is going to tell stories about the application of this halacha. Who do you paskin like? Do you paskin like Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsov, or do you paskin like Tanakhama? So Rabbi Nisai suffered the mevruv of Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsov. Rabbi Nisai wanted to paskin like Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsov. Amr le Shmuel kiman ki Zechariah. Efes Zechariah. So Shmuel said, what are you doing? You're passing like Zechariah? Zechariah is nothing. Efes. Wow, that's pretty strong Lashon. He's nothing. It means, with says Rashbam, Kamoki Efes Kesef, Kolomar, meaning we don't have any money, Efes Kesef, Efes means zero, in case you're wondering, Rashbam says, but Kolomar, Batl she'en alach kamoso, meaning he's batl in this area. We don't paskin like him. It doesn't mean that his life was worthless and he was a zero and a nobody. He meant that in terms of this halacha, no one paskins like Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsav. How could you say that you would paskin like Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsav? That's all he means to say. Rabbi Tavla avod over the Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsav. Rabbi Tavla, also another story, wanted to paskin like Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsav and allowed the son and daughter to share the Yerushalayim. Amalei Rav Nachman, my high. So what's going on over here? Why is the daughter getting something? He said, what do you mean, why is the daughter getting something? Rabbi Hanani ben Shlamiya says in the name of Rav that we pass like Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsav. He says, okay, I'm warning you now. You better change your mind right now. and you better stop saying you pass on Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsav. V'ilo, mafiknu lav Rav Chinan bar Shlamya meyunech. And if you don't say that, then I'm going to make sure you don't have any relationship with Rav Chinan bar Shlamya anymore. Again, because what was his excuse? He said, why would Rabbi Tavla pass on Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsav? Because he says, Rabbi Chinan bar Shlamya said we're supposed to do that. So he said, okay, you either change your mind now, or you're never going to have a relationship with Rabbi Chinan bar Shlamya again. What does it mean? What's he going to do? It sounds like a mafia hit. What's he going to do with Rabbi Chinan bar Shlamya? How's he going to be mapik le'meyunech? So says Rashbam, mafik nalech mishantina lach. I'll put you in Cherim, v'lo yisayelach Rav Chinan bar Shlamya. And Rav Chinan bar Shlamya won't be able to help you out anymore. Once you're in Cherim, you're going to be done, right? He's not going to be able to have any relationship with you. The Rabbeinu Gershom says that mishalcha otzi bal korcha, that bal korchech. Rabbeinu Gershom says that I will make sure that I'll just take you away from him, bal korchech. Meaning I'm going. What does that mean? I'm going to, if you go and take this son's money and share it with the daughter because you think we pass on Yibzchari ben Akatsav, so then I'm going to take the money from you against your will, meaning you're going to have to reimburse the son for what you cost him. The Ritva says that what's the idea over here? That the idea is that he considers him a Tov B'Dvar Mishnah, and the halacha by a Tov B'Dvar Mishnah is that it's Chozer. So he says, since you're a Tov B'Dvar Mishnah, I'll give you a chance to be Chozer. But if you're not Chozer on your Pesach, meaning when a judge was a Tov B'Dvar Mishnah, so then the whole Pesach is an invalid Pesach, so you could be Chozer. So he says, look, you better be Chozer on the Pesach, and if you're not going to be Chozer on the Pesach, then the money is going to have to be reimbursed one way or the other. The Ran Paskins that the halacha is that ben kodem labas even b'mata aim. The Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsav said that echra ben ve'echra bas are shavin b'lichse aim. The Gemara keeps telling these stories where anyone who tried to paskin like Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsav was threatened, and anyone who tried to paskin like Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsav was warned, you better not do that. So we see that it must be that the halacha is not like Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsav. Ran, however, says, even though we compare Mata Em to Mata Av, regarding the din of Bechorah, there's no comparison between Mata Em and Mata Av. Meaning, even though we say, yes, just like when you're Yarshin a father, the son Yarshins all of it, and the daughter gets nothing when there is a son, right? So too, when Yarshin a mother, the son gets all of it and not a daughter. What if there are two sons? Do you get Pishnayim? Does the Bechor get Pishnayim from the mother's estate, just like he would from the father's estate? So that's what the Ran says. Legabe Bechorah, the Hekesh was never made. A Bechor is not notel Pishnayim b'nichsei ha'eim, because the Pasuk says, Lo mishpat ha'bechorah, mishpat ha'bechorah li'ish, ve'ein mishpat ha'bechorah li'isha. And the Bir Agra says that the reason is that a Zerah ha'ben is, mitam zeh, av Zerah ha'ben kodem ulubas. Even a son's children will come before the daughter in terms of the Yerusha, but there's no mishpat ha'bechorah. There's no double Yerusha for the Bechor in the Nichsei Aim versus the Pashut. Okay, says Gemara Vayter, Rav Huna bar Chiya Savra l'mevruv duch Rabbi Zechari ben Akatsav. Another great Amora thought to paskin like Rabbi Zechari ben Akatsav. Rav Huna bar Chiya thought that it's a good idea to paskin like Rabbi Zechari ben Akatsav. Amalei Rav Nachman, my high. So Rav Nachman again said to him, what are you doing? Amalei, Damar Rav Huna amarav, halach Rabbi Zechari ben Akatsav. He said, what do you mean? Rav Huna said in the name of Rav that we paskin Rabbi Zechari ben Akatsav. Amalei, ashalach lei, he says, okay, you know what I'll do? Let me send a letter to Rav Huna and ask him if he really said that, because I need to clear this up with him. Sometimes a rabbi hears a Pesach Halacha that was said from another rabbi. We do this all the time. And you contact the other rabbi just to make sure, because if you don't understand it, and very often it's a mistaken transmission, very often the person who heard the Pesach honestly, innocently, made a mistake. Or very often it was a mistaken transmission the other way, that the first rabbi who gave the Pesach gave an erroneous psak because he didn't understand all of the details of the case. That's what, did we mention that yesterday? I don't know if we mentioned that recently. The idea that in order to paskin a shayla, you need to be intimately familiar with every single detail of the case. If you're not familiar with all the details, so obviously any nuance of change could change the entire psak. So he said, you know what? You claim that Rav Huna says the halacha, that Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, that the halacha is Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsav. So Rav Nachman says, I'm going to send him a letter. I'm going to hash this out with him. So Ichsif. So all of a sudden, he got embarrassed. Rav Huna bar Chiya got embarrassed. No, you don't have to send him a letter, really. It's okay. Don't send him a letter. what's going on over here? Why is he getting embarrassed? Why does he not want him to send him a letter? So says Rashbam, the Shemar Chazar bo Rav Huna, Oloha Yisamech Bishmuaso. So he says, he thought maybe Rav Huna would have changed his mind by now, and then he's going to come out looking bad. But I'm telling you, Rav Huna Paskin, Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav, you're going to send him a letter, he's going to say he doesn't Paskin, it's going to look like I'm lying, I'm not really lying, it's just possible that he changed his mind. Says the Ritva, really, that's what he's concerned about? That he changed his mind? Why would that be embarrassing? If he changed his mind, you know what he would write? Yes, it's true. What he's reporting to you that I passed on Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav is true, but I have since changed my mind. He would just say that. So what's going on? Why would he be embarrassed? So that's what the Ritva asks on the Rashbam. He doesn't like this idea that that he was afraid that he changed his mind, because then Rav Huna would clarify that. So he says, no. What happened was, he heard this from Rav Huna agavriata. He heard it from Rav Huna just in passing, and he thought that maybe Rav Huna isn't even going to remember that he said it, and then it's going to be embarrassing. But it can't be that he just made it up, right? There's no way that he made it up in the name of Rav Huna, and that's why he was embarrassing. He said, no, don't send him a letter, don't ask him, because Rav Huna never really said it. That can't be. You can't just make stuff up. However, the Magen Avraham in Or Chaim Sim Kuf Nun Vav, Sif Katan Beis, unbelievable Magen Avraham, we quoted it several times already, quotes that it's Mutter Lomar Davar Shenir Lo Nachol Nahalacha B'Shem Gadol. You're allowed to say something that you think is correct Lahalacha, and you're convinced is correct Lahalacha, but you know, little me, who's going to listen to me? And if I say, I could say it till I'm blue in the face, no one's going to listen, but everyone's going to continue to be nichshal in this area because they don't know the real halacha, and I know the real halacha. So you know what you can do, the Magen Avraham says? Say that Rav Moshe Feinstein said it. Then they'll listen. Rav Moshe Feinstein never said it. Yeah, but it's the only way. You're doing it l'shem shemayim. It's the only way to get them to listen to the halacha. An unbelievable chiddush. It's an unbelievable, I wouldn't necessarily, apparently, it's a good limud zuchus on what often people do, right? That people say things, how do you hear so many contradictory piskei halacha, the name of Moshe, the name of Salvation, any common Rav Hutner, any complicated person, you hear all sorts of different contradictory piskei halacha. So one possibility, maybe everyone is so convinced that they're right, and whatever they're saying, that they feel that they have the right to say it in the name of the Adam Gadol. So that's that they rely on this Magen Avraham. Okay, but it's not something I think that we would typically rely on. Now the Machzor Shekel points out, and even then, it's dafka if it's absolutely barur lo, if it's absolutely clear to you that you're correct. You can't be talabil and gadol if it's not absolutely clear to you that you're 100% correct. The Chidar writes also the heter only applies to gadol adar. It's not the derech ha-talmidim. People are talmidim, shouldn't go ahead and do this. If you're one of the gadol adar, but you're still concerned people won't listen to you, then you could use this. So going back to the story over here, the guy was embarrassed. What, you're going to send a letter to Rav Huna? Don't send a letter, really, it's not necessary. So he said, so Rav Nachum says to him, wait, if Rav Huna was dead, then you wouldn't have a problem with me sending, you know, then you would never back down. You would continue to paskin the way you're paskining. Meaning, because you would know that there's no way to catch you, to chap you on getting it wrong. V'u k'man savra. So, you know, now Rav Huna's alive and you keep your psak. So says Gemara, v'u k'man savra. So who did he hold like? Ki had the Rav Shmuel, Damri Tarvayu, ein alach Rav Zechariah ben Akatzav. Who did Rav Nachman hold like? That it upset Rav Nachman so much to pass on Rav Zechariah ben Akatzav. He held like Rav and Shmuel, who both said that no, that the Allah is not like Rav Zechariah ben Akatzav, that we don't pass in that way. We pass in the son comes before the daughter for Yerusha Sa'im, just like the son comes before the daughter for Yerusha Sa'av. Fine. Rabbi Yannai was traveling on the shoulders of Rabbi Simlai Shammai. Rabbi Yannai was apparently old, he couldn't see very well, right, that's what Rashbam says, he was zakein hayav echeluin of chaos, his eyes were very dim, he was unable to see, and he was unable to walk, so they had to carry him around. Va'asi Rabbi Yehuda Nesia la'payu, and Rabbi Yehuda Nesia is how we refer to the great-grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. The word Nesia means Hanasi, but just to differentiate between them, the Gemara refers to the original Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi as Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and his great-grandson is Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. So Rabbi Yehuda Nesia was coming in the other direction. So Amar Lei, so the fellow who was carrying Rabbi Simlai, who was carrying Rabbi Yannai on his shoulders, said to Rabbi Yannai, Bar inish ta'asa li kabalna, hu ya'i v'gulasa ya'i. He says, wow, the most elegant dignified person is coming to greet us. The guy looks unbelievable. He looks so dignified. And gulase, what's gulase? Rashbam says, talish shel tamidei chachamim. His garment is also so dignified, so nice. Kimata legabe gashisha. So when he got close, Rabbi Yannai couldn't see him, but he said, you know, let me feel the garment. It's such a nice garment. He's like, okay. Feel what that's made out of. So Amalei, din shiurei kasak. And he said, what? That's the elegant garment. It's thick. It's gross. That's like, that would have the same shear of tuma as sackcloth would. Meaning different garments have a different shear of tuma depending on how fine the garment is. So if it's not as fine a garment, the minimum shear is going to be a lot larger because it's not significant unless it's a larger garment. So he says something made out of this material would have the same din as a beged sack. It's such a beged of the garua, Rashbam says, that it would only be mekabel tuma if it were dal tefachim al dal tefachim. So I don't know what you're talking about, that it's such a nice garment. But anyway, they continue the conversation. So he asks him a shayla. He says, how do you know that a son comes before a daughter? In terms of that a son receives the entire Yerusha from the mother, and the daughter doesn't receive anything when there is a son. Matos, because it says matos, makish mateim lamataav, ma mataav ben kodum vas, av mateim ben kodum vas. So he told them over the drasha that we said at the top of the Yamud, that it says matos, and we compare the Yerusha from a father to the Yerusha from a mother to the Yerusha from a father. Just like Yerusha from a father, the son would get everything. If there is a son, he gets everything, the daughter gets nothing. So it's in the Yerusha from the mother, it's the same thing. Amalei, imataav bechor notel pishnaim, av mateim bechor notel pishnaim. Says, oh yeah? Well then, should we say the same thing about Bechor, about the din of Pishnayim? Should we say that just like when a father dies, the Bechor gets Pishnayim, so too when a mother dies, the Bechor is going to get Pishnayim? Should we say that? So he immediately says to his Shamish, good, less din Savi Lemelef. So he says, get me out of here. Rabbi Yannai says to his Shamish, just take me out of here. This guy doesn't want to learn. He's not interested in learning. He's just interested in bothering me. Meaning, such a stupid question he asks. Why would he waste my time with a question like that? He's just trying to chat me. He doesn't really care about learning. Says Rashbam, less than Rotsa the Melef, Ella Hakshos Dvarim Shenet Srichen, Kalamar, the Dover Kalhu, Lutari, it's good to come on. For us, it doesn't seem like such a simple question. It seems like a pretty good question. But he thought it was such a simple question that he couldn't believe that the person was seriously interested in knowing the answer. He was just using it as a conversation starter or whatever to waste our time. He said, I don't want to even deal with this. That's Rav Shechter once told the story that he was sitting at a chasna near Rav Moshe Feinstein, and someone came over to Rav Moshe and asked him a halacha. And Rav Moshe thought that the guy was trying to chap him. He somehow thought that the guy was trying to slug him up. So Rav Moshe told him, look, it's enough in the Prima Gadim. You look in the Yeshal Avram and wherever. He told him Prima Gadim, chapter and verse on the spot. So the guy walks away, and Rav Moshe turns and he said, he thought he was going to chap me on a Prima Gadim? If he's going to chat me, I mean, who doesn't know Prima Gadim backwards and forwards? But sometimes Gadol Yisrael, it's hard for them to imagine that other people are sincerely asking questions that might be simple, right? That might actually be, you know, often a pasuk in the Chumash, halachas in Shulchan Aruch. So, you know, they think they're being chapped. So anyway, he says, "V'taima my new taka, what's the answer to the question?" So Rabbi Omakra, "B'chol ha'shayim tzalo, lo v'lo la." So he said, you get pishnayim b'chol ha'shayim tzalo. Where do you get Pishnayim? The din of Pishnayim is a din in Yerusha from a man. A Yerusha from a woman, a Yerusha from a mother, there's no such din of Pishnayim. Ve'ema hanimili bachar shnas almana. Maybe that's true when a bachar marries an almana. Aval bachar shnas a basula, when a bachar marries a basula hachinami deshakil. Maybe I would assume that when a bachar marries a basula, meaning this girl, the woman who's dying, didn't have any other children from a previous marriage, maybe the Bechor should get Pishnayim. Maybe the whole din that a Bechor does not get Pishnayim from the mother is only when the mother had other children also from a previous marriage. But maybe if she doesn't have any other children from a previous marriage, she should get Pishnayim. The Bechor should get Pishnayim. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Kra. Now that's why the pasuk says, Rashis Ono, Ono Velo Ona. That who gets Pishnayim? Rashis Ono. His Rashis Ono, not hers. Hahumi Bailei the Bachar Nefelim, says the Gemara, no, we need that pasuk already. We need that pasuk to teach me that Bachar Nefelim, Delavi Bechol Nachla, that someone who's born after a Nefel, after a miscarriage, that he's also considered a Bechol Nachla. Misha Libo Dovalov, Yatsuzeh Shein Libo Dovalov. A Nefel is not only someone who, a miscarriage, a Nefel is a child that was born in the 8th month, where the Gemara assumes it can't possibly survive, a child born in the 8th month of pregnancy. So we said that you don't even have a full mourning over such a child, because the child never had a chance to survive. Im kein lemakra kihu reishis own. Now, if that's all we needed to darshan from the pasuk, it should have said kihu reishis own. My own no. What's the lashon of own no? Shema min atarti. Therefore, we're able to darshan both halachos. Va'akati, but still, emahani min almut shenasa b'sula. Avul bachar shenasa b'sula achinami d'shakil. Still, maybe when a bachar marries a b'sula, he should still get pishnayim. Ela amarava amakra lo mishpata b'chora. Now, again, another masculine term used in the pasuk says lo mishpata b'chora. Mishpata b'chora le'ish, lo mishpata b'chora le'isha. There's mishpata b'chora only for a man. There's no mishpata b'chora for a woman. Va'ishas ishto, the Mishnah said vaita that a man yarshins his wife. So says Gemara Minanim, how do we know a man yarshins his wife? Ditaran Rabbanan, she'ero zu ishto, malamit sha'bal yorishas ishto. She'ero is your wife. We see from there that a baal can be yorish's wife. Yachla afhiti rishenu, I might think that his wife should yarshin him as well. Tamalama v'yarash osa. Hu yorish osa, ve'in hi yorishas osa. That's why it tells me that v'yarash osa, to tell me that it's a one-way street. He yarshins his wife does not yarshin him. Actually, you know, we'll start, that gets a little complicated in terms of understanding the pasuk. So, be'ezras Hashem, we will start from there tomorrow.